Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
I want to start with the NBA whip. You know, we do this during the NFL season. Every single Monday, we start with an NFL whip around. We are into the NBA postseason, where everything is supposed to change, so we'll have an NBA whip for you. Except that nothing has changed. Man, you thought the regular season sucked. How about that first weekend of the NBA postseason? Like, we waited all year for this? Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that was the greatest opening weekend of NBA playoff basketball ever. In fact, you know what I will tell you? I'm not going to tell you that. But what I will tell you is that that was essentially, how do I put this? I want to be very diplomatic when I say this. I want to be very diplomatic, and I want to be very respectful. But if I had to say it, that first weekend was straight ass. And I will ask no one in particular, no names mentioned, Commissioner Ears. We had to sit through the entire boring-ass regular season to get more of exactly the same on the big stage, under the bright lights. Seriously? Other than last night's Thunder-Pels tilt, could the rest of these games been any less interesting or any less competitive? When the product should be at its absolute best, it was actually at one of its worst. As for the first weekend, I mean, we had one good game. And no, the Pels did not pull off the upset over the top seed Thunder without the ZNP. But they damn near did pull it off and probably do win that game if they had the big pork. But at least there was an actual reason to watch that game until the very end. Unlike pretty much every other game all weekend. I mean, again, this is what we've been waiting for all year. Ears, a bunch of blowouts, some of the biggest names in the sport, not even on the floor. The chalkiest of chalk, the home team and the higher seed winning every single game easily. How is the Ears postseason invitational even lamer than the Ears in-season tourney? I guess that's why the Pelicans should get some credit right off the very top. They at least played the one seed tough. They at least made OKC uncomfortable, even without Pion. And hot takers, I know you can't wait to start vomiting up your steaming hot lava about how the Pelicans are even better without Zion. I know you. I know you better than you know you. I know you can't wait to say that. I would tell you not to do it, but that'd be an absolute waste of my time and breath because that's what you takers do. You talk out your ass to get some gullible people to look at you and react to you. The Pelicans are not better without Zion, period, obviously. Period. But they have proven they can win without him, and they damn near did it again. The chunk of dunk goes down, and then New Orleans turns around and they eviscerate the Kings on Friday night. Ho-ho-ho-ho, Sacktown. I've got no idea what that was, but ho-ho-ho-ho, was it ugly.
Oh, Johnny boy in New York.
Ho-ho-ho-ho, Sacktown in Sacktown. I admit it, I bet you that night. I did not see that happening. Ho-ho-ho-ho, Sacktown in Sacktown. Yeah, I'm not here to pile on either. I'm here to give the Pels some credit. And I'm here to say that I'm disappointed in Sacktown. Really? I mean, come on. But then again, they did almost catch the Thunder last night without Zion. Except Sacktown, watching the Kings on Friday night was nearly as painful as listening to a Ryan in Sacktown phone call. Yo, Beam Town. Hope you guys had fun winning your Super Bowl and lighting your beam when you beat the Dubs, because that's all you have to celebrate the season, and now you enter the offseason with some unanswered questions. Meantime, New Orleans turns around, and they back up that Sacktown beatdown with a game effort last night. I feel like they should also get points for the soundbite of the weekend, because Larry Nance Jr. dropped a gem after that Friday night win.
Respectfully, I'm betting on the Pels. I'm not betting. You know, respectfully, I'm betting on the Pels. I'm not betting. No, Johnson. I'm not betting. I'm not betting on anything. I don't own a betting app. None of that. Nah.
Yo, find me something funnier than that and I'll wait. Find me something funnier than that and I'll wait. That was perfect. That was absolutely perfect. I'm betting on the Pels. No. No, I'm betting on the Pels. No, I'm not betting. No, Jonte. I need to hear that one more time, Alvin. I really do.
Respectfully,
Let me stop right there. As you already know, anytime somebody starts a sentence with respectfully, someone is going to get badly disrespected.
I'm betting on the Pels. I'm not betting. No, Johnson. I'm not betting. I'm not betting on anything. I don't own a betting app. None of that.
Dude, you're now my new favorite player. Like, I always liked him, but that is incredible. No, Jonte.
No, Johnson.
No, Jonte is incredible. I got a feeling that's going to stick. And I had the same thought, too. Respectfully. See, the difference is, respectfully, I did bet on the Pels. And respectfully, they got me paid.
No, I did go.
Not only was I not no Jonte, I was full Jonte. No, the head and I both went full Jonte. And we got paid. Thank you very much, fellas. Sorry you lost. We won. That's all that matters. I know you lost, but we won. So one dude nobody was betting on. I'm shifting to a new topic. One guy that nobody was betting on going into the postseason was Dame Dalla. Remember, it was Ben Golliver who came on and said that he was the most disappointing star in the league this year, last week. So nobody was betting on Dame. And frankly, my guy's been catching nothing but strays. And to be honest, he did deserve a lot of it. Underwhelming is the word that has best summed up his time in Milwaukee. Until yesterday, until he decided that the first half against the Pacers was, in fact, officially Dame time. Dude just reminded everybody why he needed to bust out of Portland. He reminded us of why Milwaukee needed him and wanted him. In order to do that, Dame's like, no Giannis? Psst, please.
Please.
Here's 35 in the first half. If you need me. Dame's like, Haliburton on the Olympic team over me? Psst, please.
Psst, please.
Here, have some. And by some, I mean the most points in a half in franchise history. You know you had a great half when you don't have to score a single point in the second half and the game is still an absolute beatdown. My dude ended the Pacers in two quarters. And then after the game, he reminded us how happy he is to be in the playoffs. No offense, Portland.
The last 2 years not being in the playoffs, it was, it sucked. I was early vacations. Last year, I went to Coachella. Like, I ain't never been able to go to Coachella. Like, it's just playing in the playoffs every year. So just having that long summer, it was like, man, I was over that.
I see you working, Dame. Dame's like, you think I wanted to be at Coachella? You think that's where I wanted to be? You think I liked roughing it out there in the desert heat with all that dust and wind and traffic just to see Lana Del Rey? You guys think I really give a damn about Sabrina Carpenter? Because I really don't. I like basketball better than I like all that. In all seriousness, great to see Dame finally looking like Dame. And the Bucks would definitely agree. Dame finally looked like Dame again. Just like another subject change. Just like the Celtics finally look like the Celtics again. Half fam. After they seemingly got bored and coasted for the last couple of months, they went to find the switch, and they threw the switch, and it worked. And I'm not even going to blame them for not playing well down the stretch. I mean, didn't they wrap this thing up like a Christmas? Didn't they clinch the top seed like a Thanksgiving? They won the East by 14 games. Of course, there was going to be some coasting. All that mattered was that Boston was able to throw the switch when they had to, when the playoffs started. And after game one, it looks like they did exactly that. I understand that Miami is busted up, just as I understand that Miami knocked them out last year. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Now, here's what I'm not going to do. Chowtown, half fam. I'm not going to get all worked up. I'm not going to cry foul or make accusations of dirty play. Nor do I think that the Heat, as physical as they are, and that's the key, right? They're physical. They've always been physical. I'm not going to say the Heat were intentionally trying to injure Jason Tatum at the end of that game. And by the way, I don't think you should be all that worked up either. Half fam. Because strangely, as you're getting all worked up and thinking that Eric Spoelstra put a hit or a bounty on Tatum, your own coach actually loved it. He wasn't upset about it. Weird as this sounds, strange as this sounds, seeing your star player get blindsided and trucked from behind and fly way up into the air like John Elway at the goal line and then land hard on his back didn't seem to bother Joe Mazzulla in the least. In fact, it actually seemed to pump this dude up.
I was just thinking, I was waiting to see what he was going to do. I was kind of excited about the whole situation. So I enjoyed watching it.
What about in terms of how he feels?
He's fine. Yeah.
You enjoyed watching your star go like 6 feet off the ground and land hard on his back? I get that you're excited. I get that it adds some extra motivation and some juice, but you enjoyed watching Jason Tatum get lit up. When the guy basically ursaed his best player going down hard. You love seeing your franchise guy possibly shatter his tailbone.
Love to see it. Love to see it.
That was awesome. Man, you see that dude? You see how hard he hit the ground? Love to see it. He damn near bounced when he hit the ground. Love to see it.
I enjoyed watching it.
All right, coach, whatever you say.
Love to see it.
One thing that was clear about the Celtics, they were ready. They're not messing around. They're serious. You're not supposed to be able to throw the switch, but they did. Anybody who thought they got bored late in the regular season is right. They did get bored. Of course they got bored. But luckily, that has nothing to do, at least after one game, with the postseason. These dudes did not show up to get upset by an 8 seed. Speaking of upsets, new topic. Now that I think about it, there was an upset this weekend. I forgot about it. The upset would be James Harden actually showing up and showing out in a big playoff game. Can't say that I saw that one coming. Like, the fat suit went up to the second floor, and not by the elevator either. Like, he climbed the stairs. Fat suit walks up the stairs to the second floor, skipping stairs, by the way, two at a time, and got buckets. Harden actually showed up. And the entire Mavericks team, not named Luka or Kyrie, totally no-showed. You know, that's pretty much what the Clipper plan was. Make those two dudes work for absolutely everything, and then make sure that everybody else gets absolutely nothing. And it worked. New topic. To their credit, That's what I mean by the NBA whip around. I'm just whipping around, covering as much ground as I can. I can't say that the Lake Show no-showed. The Lake Show actually played pretty well, which should be extremely alarming for Car Flag Nation because their good game didn't even push Denver. Again, that's now 9 in a row. Nine times the Nuggets have beaten the Lakers. Nine times in a row. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, nine. Hey, nine.
9 times.
Hey, Ham, you said you wanted all the smoke. Well, here's your smoke. You want all that smoke. You're not ducking no fades. Well, you got it, dude. And we actually have live, jungle exclusive, on-court audio from LeCap during the fourth quarter of game one as it all got away. We also happen to have, and by the way, if anybody's listening and they want to use that audio, you better credit us. Jungle exclusive. You do not have permission to use that audio without crediting us. We also have exclusive jungle audio of LeCap's reaction every time D'Angelo Russell threw up another brick. Remember when D'Lo was trying to tell us that we were making it a whole D'Lo Denver thing, even though he was the one who was horrendous and got benched against them in the playoffs last year. Even though the Lakers desperately need this dude to hit some shots, to have any chance. It was us who made it a D'Lo Denver thing. My man, we never made anything a D'Lo Denver thing. D'Lo made it a D'Lo Denver thing. And he just made it a D'Lo Denver thing once again in game one by going 1 of 9 from beyond the arc. Yeah, but, there is no D'Lo Denver thing. That didn't hurt them at all. That thing does not exist. Let me tell you what the D'Lo Denver thing is. Denver wants him to shoot the ball. He misses his shots, and he obliges them because they know that no matter how many shots he misses, he's going to keep shooting, which they love. And he obliged them, and it worked again. Yo, Ham, you tell me. After the playoff opening weekend, who looks more vulnerable? The defending champs who just stomped your asses for the 9th straight time, or the Thunder who almost lost game one at home to a team that you just beat twice in a row in their building? You tell me, Ham, because you went really hard when everybody suggested that, you know what, you might be better off playing OKC. You probably don't want that smoke. You probably don't want Denver. You tell me, Ham. Because Denver was not playing well at all. And then they decided they should probably play a little better. And then they hammered you. It was that simple. Do you get it now, Ham? Are you finally understanding? Or is this still insane asylum talk?
Insane asylum, sources say.
Good one. It wasn't really funny when you said it. And it's really not funny at all. Not now. Man, that aged so badly. Yeah, I know. You wanted all the smoke. I know. The Caps said it. What did they do? What did they really do? They held serve. No, you know what they did? They beat you for the 9th time in a row. When a team beats another team 9 times in a row and 5 times in a row in the playoffs, you know what that tells me? That other team is better. Much better. And whatever adjustments you think you're going to make aren't going to work. Bad matchup. Well, you wanted it, Ham. You got it. You wanted all that smoke, you're getting it. You wanted all the smoke, you got all the smoke. You know what else you're getting? What you're getting is smoked ham, Ham. Hey-o. Smoked ham, Ham. Hit that with some Swiss or some provolone or some mayo. I'd approach it like this if I were you. If you win one game in this series, hang a banner, because I know you will. If you can force a sixth game, damn, man, definitely on a parade. Just know you're not beating these guys four times in seven games. You're just not. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? Of course, I'm talking about Tom Pelissero. Tom, great to have you back. How you doing, Tom?
Doing great, Jim. Walking around downtown Detroit today. You can tell that the NFL is taking it over. It's not the old days of going to Radio City and doing it in the theater, man. They build this thing out. They take over the downtown space, and it should be buzzing here the next few days.
I was going to say, so how does it feel? Does it feel right?
Feels like it feels like another NFL takeover. You know, it's almost Super Bowl-like, where you got the fencing up and you got everything, you know, everybody's being rerouted downtown. I'm sure all the locals are annoyed that they can't just walk across the street anymore. But hey, man, this is a big deal. It's a traveling roadshow, and the NFL does a heck of a job putting it on.
That's it, and they've got the draft. It's in their town. So why don't we talk about that? It's a virtual lock, Tom, that the Bears take Caleb Williams first overall. I mean, the guy's skill set, his talent, they're undeniable. We know this. Have you heard any concerns at all around the league about how he might fit with the Bears in terms of the coaching staff or the talent he'll have around him? Is there anything else there?
I would say the biggest thing for other teams has just been about how unique the process is around Caleb Williams in terms of he doesn't have a traditional agent. He's got this team of attorneys and advisors. His dad, Carl, has been heavily involved and has had a vision for his son's career. You know, he pauses his pre-draft training. He takes a vacation to Tokyo with his girlfriend. He doesn't do the medical at the combine. He only takes one visit. These are all different things, but it's easy for other teams to say that they'd be nervous about it. It's a completely other thing to be holding the number one pick and have this guy who, before he ever set foot on a college football field, was a likely number one overall pick. The Bears are in this spot not because they were the worst team in the league, but this is a rare occasion where they hold it because of the deal they made last year with the Carolina Panthers. I had one coach tell me Caleb Williams is going to be stepping into a better situation than any quarterback in the past 5 years. And the Bears have really built this thing up with the idea all along that they were building it for Caleb Williams. This isn't like some past drafts where there's a real kind of back and forth and who are we going to take? They knew once they had the number one pick locked in, it was probably Caleb Williams. So what do? They change offensive coordinators. They bring in Shane Waldron, who's worked with a variety of different types of quarterbacks in Seattle and back in the Rams days. They think he's going to be a really good fit for Caleb. They signed DeAndre Swift. They trade for Keenan Allen. They retain their offensive line coach, Chris Morgan, who's one of the best run game guys in the league. They've already got a top 10 caliber defense with Matt Eberflus calling it for them. You know, this is a situation where it really is set up better than most teams that would be drafting number one. And from the Williams camp's perspective, you know, what they wanted from the Bears was a demonstration of investment and infrastructure. They wanted to make sure, and Caleb said this himself the other day, that he's in the best position possible to achieve his next goal, which is trying to win 8 Super Bowls, be the greatest of all time, and surpass Tom Brady. Now, that is a wild thing for anybody to say out loud or to show off, but you have to understand the psychology of Caleb and Carl and that group. You know, they set out from the time that Caleb was about 10 years old to make him the number one draft pick. They've accomplished that goal over 3 seasons at 2 different schools. He held serve. Now it's all about taking that next step forward. And if you would have gone back 6 months ago, 12 months ago, the Bears wouldn't have been at the top of the list of places that Caleb Williams wanted to go. But the Bears have done everything possible to demonstrate to Caleb Williams, you are in good hands here. We've got this. They sent him out to dinner with some of his future teammates back during his pro day visit. That all went really well. The coaches are still Zooming with him, staying in touch, just talking football, getting ready to launch this thing. They've had the advantage of knowing all along this was their guy. Everything the Bears have done, including trading Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick earlier than they needed to, that sent the signal we are all in on Caleb Williams. They could have picked up the phone and called him. That probably would have had the same effect. But they've shown again and again, we are doing what it takes to put Caleb in the best spot possible. It is going to be a different type of situation just because Caleb is arguably the first true NIL quarterback coming in. He's a multimillionaire. He lived in a penthouse in L.A. Now he's moving to Chicago. And you know what, Jim? You know that market. You know the Bears as well as anybody. If Caleb Williams is as advertised, he will be the biggest stud in that city since probably Michael Jordan. That's the type of stakes that you've got out there right now for Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears.
Two things, Tom. Number one, that might be the most comprehensive response to a question I've ever gotten, and I mean that in the best way possible. And number two, you're right. I do understand the Bears. I understand that market. I mean, there's a lot of places where you want to be a star athlete, but I'm not sure there's a better place to be a star athlete than Chicago, and especially to be a star quarterback than Chicago. So if he is as advertised, that's going to be a great life. Tom Pelissero, my guest. What about the rest of Thursday? After the first pick, things can really get wild. What is the latest with the way in which the Commanders are leaning at number two, especially after they brought in multiple QBs all at the same time and Jaden Daniels' camp apparently didn't like that very much? Where do they stand with that second pick? Who do they like best?
I've asked Jim some other general managers if they can ever remember a group visit for quarterbacks, because there are other teams and we'll try to do a lot of their 30 visits at once. And it's because of, you know, you observe dynamics, you get everybody in the building, and you kind of have like a team type of an environment. Nobody I've talked to remembers a team doing this with quarterbacks. And the big reason for that is because normally if you're evaluating quarterbacks, you want to maximize the amount of time that you have with them. If you're the DM or you're the head coach or the OC, you want to sit down for a couple hours and really get into it with these guys. When you bring in four of them at once, because Michael Penix was there as well as J.J. McCarthy and Drake May and Jaden Daniels, it's harder to do that. Now, I would point out only one guy got picked up at the airport by Dan Quinn, and that was Jaden Daniels. The other guys took a shuttle bus to the hotel. So if you want to read into the transportation here, you get a pretty good idea that Jaden Daniels was being treated slightly differently than the other guys. But this has been an open secret within the league just before the process started. Jaden Daniels has a relationship with Antonio Pierce going back to their days and him being recruited to Arizona State, perfect world. He'd love to go and be a Raider. But Washington has sent the signal to everybody that's called on the number two pick, going all the way back to the combine, going back to free agent week, that they're not moving off of number two. Having said that, I don't know that I can sit here a little over 72 hours out from the draft and say definitively that Jaden Daniels is going to be the pick. You have a lot of voices involved in Washington. You got Josh Harris, who's a new owner. This is his first draft. He sat in on every meeting, every combine interview. He was a part of that group visit. You've got Bob Myers, the former Warriors general manager, who was at the combine, who has been a big part of the organization going back to when he helped run the coaching and GM search. You've got Magic Johnson's going to have an opinion on things. You got Dan Quinn. You've got Cliff Kingsbury, all of which is to say you have to work through this entire deal because these are different styles of quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels, obviously, is a playmaker. I've had people tell me, scouts and coaches, he might be the most talented passer in the draft, even more so than Caleb Williams. It's just, yeah, he's undersized. And, you know, you worry about the violent Looney Tunes type hits that he takes out there on a weekly basis. Drake May is going to need more time. He's a different style of quarterback, but there absolutely is some love for him in the building. And I know for a fact, you know, the Commanders and other teams who went to J.J. McCarthy's pro day walked out of there going, that guy showed us more horsepower than we knew that he had. So if I had to guess right now, Jim, I would say Jaden Daniels at number two, but I would not say that that's 100% at this stage, which is when all the drama now comes from, because until the Patriots at three know for sure what's happening at number two, they're not moving. So any trade at three might occur on the clock.
Tom Pelissero joining us. I was going to ask you about the Pats at three. It seems like every single year, Tom, there's always that marquee quarterback who gets picked apart. This year, it's May. I spoke to North Carolina head coach Mack Brown last week. He called him, as you might expect, he called him one of the best players and best people he's ever coached. So I'm curious, where do you come out on all the criticism of May? And if Daniels does, in fact, go second, are the Pats locked in on May with number three?
There's a couple of different things with Drake May. One is just, you know, the accuracy. That comes up from the coaches a lot when I talk to people. Just, you know, one of them said to me, he's not naturally accurate, so it's going to be a project. Now, there's a lot to work with in terms of the tools, the arm, the size, you know, good athletic ability, maybe not quite Justin Herbert, but he can move around pretty well for a big guy. He's likable. He is young, though. You know, there's always kind of some maturity in general that takes place when you're 20, 21 years old. And coming from that offense, like other North Carolina quarterbacks in the past, it's just such a gigantic leap because it's so simplistic the way that they run things. Now, with Drake May, he comes from an athletic family. You know, his dad played there. His brother won a basketball national title. His other brother won a baseball national title at the University of Florida. He's always been the young kid in the family who's, you know, losing 50 straight ping pong games or whatever it is and then going, okay, rack them up. Let's go one more time. I'm going to win this next one. So it's not like there's concern about he's going to be bad initially and it's going to ruin him. It's more so, ideally, you just don't want to force somebody out there before they're ready. He's got a lot to learn. There's every reason to think that he's got the aptitude and he can pick it up. You just want to give him a little bit of time. So we all know in the NFL right now, you generally don't have the benefit of time. People within the league I've spoken to think New England would be a really good fit for him because you have Jacoby Brissett there, because there's not as much pressure for him to play right away. And that it would also be a fit for the Patriots in that division, getting a big, strong guy for when you're playing in the elements and you're playing in cold weather. That might be something that's alluring to them as well. But you have the Giants at six. You have the Vikings at 11. Depending, again, how those first two picks fall, you could have competition for a couple other teams to trade up to number three. To this point, the Patriots haven't gotten an offer that's compelled them to move. And again, I would think, no matter what, things can change, but I would not anticipate that they're going to move off that pick if they move off that pick until they're on the clock Thursday night.
Tom Pelissero joining us. All right, Tom, before you go, in addition to your draft responsibilities later on in the week on NFL Network, you are contributing to NFL 360's draft special tomorrow night. It's 8 p.m. Eastern. You're profiling Tulane quarterback Michael Pratt. What can you tell us about his personal journey on his path to the draft?
Well, thanks for asking, Jim. And Michael Pratt is a fascinating story. He has dealt with incomprehensible heartbreak through the course of his life. You know, when he was in high school as a senior, his best friend on the team, Bryce Gowdy, who was a top recruit, he was headed to Georgia Tech the week before. The both of them were supposed to early enroll and leave town. Bryce Gowdy died by suicide. And that was something that weighed heavily on Michael Pratt. He has a tattoo on his arm that says Believe in 7, which was Gowdy's number. He switched his uniform number to number 7. One of his biggest fans was his brother, David, who, if you ever watched the Tulane game when they had that magical season in 2022 and were one of the last unbeaten teams, you know, Pratt after games would run over and jump into this big guy's arms in the front row of the stands. And that was his brother, Michael, who was his biggest fan. Last summer, Michael became a father for the first time. And a couple of weeks later, his brother passed away, David passed away. And so Michael Pratt is somebody who has carried a lot of grief with him. He's also known as one of the exceptional leaders, a guy who, you know, really has this way of bringing people together. He helped bring that Tulane program to places that it had not previously been. When I talk to coaches and scouts about Michael Pratt, there's questions about the player. He's probably a late day two, early day three guy. Maybe he's a long-term backup with upside. But as a person, people absolutely rave about him as a guy. So he gave us really cool access. The NFL 360 people, there's a reason that they lead the country in sports Emmy nominations every year. Their visual storytelling is second to none. And so I got to spend a couple of days with Michael Pratt down in Florida, and I'm really proud of how it came out and look forward to everybody getting to see it tomorrow.
Tremendous. I'll look forward to that too. Tom Pelissero, an NFL Network insider. And again, the NFL Network has comprehensive live coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft in the D Thursday through Saturday. Tom, I know it's a busy week. Great to have you on the show. As always, thanks so much, Tom. Have a great week.
You're the best, Jim. Thanks, man.
You too, dude. Much respect, Tom Pelissero. So I've got a quick question for you. Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. It's not just because Mike McD is different and kind of odd and kind of peculiar and kind of eccentric and unlike any other NFL head coach. Again, all positives. It's not just because this guy actually partied his way out of the league before having to start over, pretty much hit rock bottom, but rebuilt himself and came all the way back. Something else I respect about him. So it's not any one of those things. It's actually all of those things. And then there's even more to it than that. I feel like because he's such a unique personality, what's getting lost in all of this is the main thing. And to me, the main thing is, this dude's a pretty damn good coach. And that's the reason why all those other things work. If he sucked, and then he didn't win, then being quirky and peculiar and constantly cracking weird jokes would be whack, and it wouldn't work. You know, the fact that he's been an effective head coach is the reason why he can go out in those capri sweatpants and actually break out a vape pen on the sideline and work some of those goofy press conferences. They work. Stuff like that works because he's a good coach and they win. But I think all these things also play into a Mike McD misconception or misperception. Like people think that he's kind of, I don't know, soft or a guy that you can kind of get over on. Like he's some sort of pushover, but he's not. You know, like he's Ivy League, and he is that. He's funny. He's kind of peculiar. You look at him, he's not exactly physically imposing. He'll be the first one to tell you that. It feels like people think that because of all those things, like he's this kind of quirky, not overly imposing dude physically, that he doesn't command or demand respect. And that it maybe doesn't play like that in the locker room. Well, come to find out, that's not true. Not that we needed evidence, but now we have it. If you don't believe it, check in with his biggest star, Tyreek Hill. Because the Cheetah told this amazing story, and it's an amazing story, on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast. He told this story about how Mike McD checked him hard after the playoff loss to KC. Check this story out.
A lot of guys aren't used to that. A lot of guys aren't used to sitting inside of a meeting room, being the best player on their team their whole entire life, and then a coach saying, bro, you suck this play,
you
bro.
You ever had somebody say that to you?
Oh, yeah, this year, Miami Dolphins. You know what I'm saying? Like, the play against Snead, the play the Chiefs. Everybody see this play against the Chiefs? One to the floor. He called me out. He like, Reek, bro, you supposed to be the best player in the league, and you got this guy putting hands all over you like that. It's, man, we pay you all this money for what? And for me, I love like that, because I'm going to take that to heart, and I'm gonna get better from it. That'll never happen again to me in my life, man. You feel me?
That's an incredible soundbite. I'm not sure I've ever heard so many F-bombs around little kids.
You feel me?
I'm not ever offended by profanity. I'm not saying I condone it. I'm not saying that it's the best thing ever. I understand where if you find it offensive, I totally get that. But even I have to do a double take on, man, that's an awful lot of F-bombs around a lot of five-year-olds or less. But Rick was feeling it because he was telling this great story.
Suck this play,
you
bro.
You ever had somebody say that to you?
Oh, yeah, this year, Miami Dolphins. You what know what happened? I'm saying?
Check out Coach Nerd. Look at this guy go. What a line that is. Nerd! We pay you all this money for what? I mean, it's the thing that every single coach wants to say at some point to their star and their best players, but often don't because they need the buy-in and they need the support. And a lot of these guys don't want to be coached hard like that. Reek said it. You've got guys that have always been the best player on their team, the best player in the room. They've always been singled out. They've never been called out. And rare is that guy being called out in front of everybody else. You imagine? So you got like the cap who's constantly ignoring the ham on the sideline during timeouts. Can you imagine the ham running up on the cap like, yo, man, remind me, we're paying you all this money for what? You didn't even take a shot in the fourth quarter. You gassed out completely. I mean, never, never. I'm not saying that Reek is the GOAT like LeCap might be the GOAT, but he is one of the best players in the league. To Mike McDaniel's point, he's like, yo, dude, you are the best player in the league. How do you let that guy put hands on you like that? Remind me again. We're paying you all this money for what?
We pay you all this money for what?
So Mike McD had the so-called cocahonis to actually say what other coaches won't. And remember, it's the cheetah who told us about Mike McD's cocahonis in the first place.
Cocahonis.
He said that this guy needed a wheelbarrow for his gigantic cocahonis.
Cocahonis.
I mean, honestly, that's shades of the hood man calling out bacon face right to his bacon face. You know, and in a lot of ways, I can remember way back in the day, I did an interview with Sparky Anderson, the great, great manager. And he would tell me that he would sometimes like go hard at Pete Rose. Because A, he knew Pete could take it. And B, it sent the message to the rest of the clubhouse that if I'm going as hard as I am against my most important guy, then none of you are above this. And that's why the hood would go that hard at Bacon Face, because he knew that Bacon Face could handle it and that it sent a message to the rest of the locker room. Better times, though, for Hood Man, right? You know, back when he was actually ripping off Lombardis as opposed to being unemployed. Listen, the Dolphins still have a huge problem. Tua is much improved, but Tua is still not Mahomes. You know, like, I'm not saying that's a problem unique to Miami and Tua. It's the same problem that everybody in the UFC has, and it's a big problem. Also, Miami has other problems. Namely, they're not very good away from Miami, which makes it hard for them to win any playoff games on the road, let alone when those playoff games happen to be the fourth coldest game in NFL history. Never mind frigid KC, although I personally never will forget that. Forget frigid KC. Forget going on the road. There is something else working against Miami right now. And I don't know if you know this. This is an incredible stat. The Dolphins have not been able to find a playoff win of any kind in nearly a quarter of a century. I don't know if you knew this or not. Every other team in the NFL has won a playoff game since Miami last won a playoff game. Think about that for a second. So that's something else that Mike McD is up against. A quarter century without even a hint of playoff success. And that's what I'm saying will change Miami under Mike McD. When I hear stuff like that from the Cheetah, that tells me that that's going to change. That these dudes will get there. I'm not going to guarantee a Lombardi, but I can all but guarantee a playoff win. And sooner than later. Man, I love that he hit that guy right between the eyes. Before I give you my last thought on this album, I'd like to hear that entire exchange one more time.
A lot of guys aren't used to that. A lot of guys aren't used to sitting inside of a meeting room, being the best player on their team their whole entire life, and then a coach saying, bro, you suck this play,
you
bro.
You ever had somebody say that to you?
Oh, yeah, this year, Miami Dolphins. You know what I'm saying? Like, the play against Snead, the Chiefs. Everybody see this play against the Chiefs? Coming to the flow, he called me out. He like, Reek, bro, you supposed to be the best player in the league, and you got this guy putting hands all over you like that. It's man, we pay you all this money for what? And for me, I love that because I'm gonna take that to heart, and I'm gonna get better from it. That'll never happen again to me in my life, man. You feel me?
I actually do. In that case, feel him. I think actually Reek, he handled that really well. Like he's telling that story with pride. Like he's not offended by that at all. He's telling, like, he couldn't wait to share that story. He's telling that story with pride, saying that it fires him up, and that he will never let that happen to him ever again.
You feel me?
I mean, if I hit any of the XR4 Ti with a, hey, remind me, we're paying you all this money for what? These guys, no offense, guys, these guys would be on a dead sprint to the radio portal, looking for an easier gig that would pay them more money. So credit to McD for not being afraid of losing his star receiver support, and credit to Reek for owning it and saying that it pumped him up and that he needs to be held accountable and not questioning it and not being a diva about it. I know these dudes have not won a playoff game in forever, but I still think it's not a question of if, but a matter of when. And again, I'm not saying they're Super Bowl bound, but I am saying with that genius, hilarious nerd leading them, getting up in the grill of his best player, holding them accountable, they'll get up off the mat soon enough. Again, especially when he's up in the grill of his best players telling them, do better, and asking them to remind him of why they're paying them so much.
Man, we pay you all this money for what?
For what? For what? That's the epitome of do better. You're supposed to be the best player in the league. Not even on this team, but in the league. Remind me again, we're paying you all this money for what? That is an incredible line.
You feel me?
I do, dude. I don't always feel you, Reek, but I do there. I like it. I love the story. I love your reaction to the story. We'll see how it plays out. Hey, listen, I've got to tell you guys about this. So the other day, I come across a product that all of us should be carrying around, a product that I now carry around. It's something different for fresh breath. It's this amazing product called Zelman's Minty Mouth. And guys, it is an absolute game changer. If you're up in the grill of somebody else making your case for whatever it is, make sure your breath is fresh. If it's not, they won't hear what you're selling or saying anyway. Zelman's cleans your breath in a way that other mints don't and can't, because it's not just a mint. It's a functional breath freshener capsule that you swallow, clinically tested against the toughest offenders like garlic and onions even. You just pop two or three in your mouth, you suck the minty coating, then swallow the capsule for the confidence of fresh, clean breath that lasts for hours. This product is like nothing else you've ever tried. It fights bad breath in your mouth, and then it goes down to your gut. This is the ultimate hack to get rid of coffee, garlic, or smoker's breath. It's that strong. You're going to love having the confidence of long-lasting fresh breath or your money back. That's right, or your money back guaranteed. These folks will give you your money back. Not that you'll want it, but they will. They have free shipping if you order three packs or more. And trust me, you're going to want more. And nobody likes to pay for shipping, right? So go to Zelmans.com right now. That's Zelmins.com right now. Do it now and you'll get 15% off when you use my promo code ROME. That's Zelmins.com. But you have to use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, to get your 15% savings. Do it. Do it right now. We are joined right now by the new head coach of Kentucky, Mark Pope. Mark, it is absolutely awesome to chop it up with you once again. How you feeling, coach?
Hey, Jim, I am
like now it feels real that I get to come on the show, brother. Come on. This is awesome. I'm so happy to be with you.
Oh, dude, it's so good to have you back. All right, so, Mark, change is hard for most people. I know how stressful, for instance, just moving can be. So I've got to know, what have the last few weeks been like for you since you accepted the Kentucky job and returned to your alma mater?
Well, it's absolute mayhem and chaos, which is it always is. I'm leaving a place that I dearly love in BYU that was so great for me. We had an epic run there and just developed such incredible lifelong relationships, and people were so great. And then there's all the chaos and madness of coming to the mecca of college basketball, right? It's and it is everything that you could possibly imagine and more. And so the only thing that's bringing calm to all the chaos and the madness is that we're coming home. Like, this is our home. When we first got here on Sunday, we did a little press conference, and it was kind of group after group, and every single group I talked to, as I'm speaking to the group, it's like I'm picking out faces that I haven't seen in 25 years, but I love dearly, and we're so connected, and so it's just us coming home, man, and so it feels like very chaotic, and there's so much to do and everything else, but it just feels like we're back home, and we're so grateful and enjoying every day of the work.
I think that's great. I love everything about that, Mark. You're right. I think that's such a good point. You are coming home. I can only imagine if you were to just drop into that environment, having never experienced that environment before, how wild that would be. But you see familiar faces, and you are coming home. Mark Pope, my guest. Now, introductory pressers generally are high-energy events, but I've never seen one like yours. It was held at Rupp Arena. Your AD, Mitch Barnhart, pointed out that there are larger attendances, or that was a larger attendance than most teams have for their games. What did it mean to you to see your old friends and the BBN show up and show out the way they did when you were introduced as the Wildcats' new head coach?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, I've never seen anything like it in my life or the history of sports, actually. And the beautiful, I mean, we had 22,000 people. We had people lined up at 9 o'clock, that came from states away just to be a part of it. And they had to turn away, give or take 5,000 people that couldn't even get into Rupp Arena, right? That's hard to do. And it actually, the one thing that's super humbling is that it didn't really have anything to do with me. It had to do with Kentucky basketball. It had to do with Big Blue Nation. It had to do with the way that the people here love the Cats and what this program means to the state of Kentucky. And so, getting to witness that firsthand, Jim, I'm telling you, it's incredibly humbling. It's awesome because that's really the truth. All those people gathered in Rupp Arena to celebrate Kentucky basketball and to show their commitment to this team. And there's never been anything like it before. And it's just because of the uniqueness of Kentucky basketball. So to kind of get to stand there in the center of it and take it in and feel the passion, was incredible. Like this is, we say this all the time. This is not my team. It's not even our players' team. This is Kentucky's team. And that's super special. It just doesn't exist in sports. We kind of think about the Green Bay Packers maybe as the closest approximation, but it's incredibly special to be a part of this program.
Mark Pope joining us. I personally have never seen anything like that, but then again, there's nothing like the BBN. We know that. Another key moment from that presser was you bounding off that bus, rocking the 1996 National Championship trophy. So what's your vision? Now we can get into it a little bit. What's your vision for getting the Wildcats back to consistently competing for natties?
Well, it's first of all, that's the standard here, right? If you want to run from that standard, don't come here because that's the standard. That's what BBN expects. That's what Kentucky tradition expects. That's what every great player that's been here over the last 100 years expects. And so we're embracing that expectation fully, and we're trying to carry on a legacy. Listen, Cal left an incredible legacy here. Tubby Smith left an incredible legacy. He came and won his first one. And obviously I got to be a part of Coach P and Coach Pitino and what he did here. And then before me was Joby Hall. And you just think about the legacy of Kentucky basketball. So we want to carry that on and continue. We want to continue to build on that. And then we're going to do it kind of the way that college basketball is dictating right now. Right now, we're being incredibly active in the transfer portal. We're going to have some veteran leadership on this team. You know, we're signing superstar young players just today. You know, we got you know, we're allowed to talk now about Colin Chandler, who's one of the great talents in all of college basketball, young talent. He's just returned home from church mission, and it's going to be everything in between. But mostly it's going to be guys that are willing to come here and understand what it means to wear the Kentucky uniform and understand that this is bigger than themselves. And that's going to be a pathway for guys to hang banners. It's going to be a pathway for guys to go have incredible careers in the NBA. And it's going to be a pathway, most importantly, for guys to build a legacy at the greatest basketball program in the country. And, Jim, I'm so happy to be able to say that, man. It's so fun.
It's incredible, and it's true. Kentucky head basketball coach Mark Pope joining us. You mentioned Cal. Mark, I'm curious. I mean, he's going to work, obviously, for an SEC rival at Arkansas, but have you heard from John Calipari since you were hired? Are you at all interested in kind of talking to him about his experience in Lexington?
Yeah, you know, I'm super grateful for Cal. Like, I really appreciate him. He's been a great friend to me as we've kind of been growing through the ranks of college basketball. In fact, you know, even as recently as Saturday of the Final Four, it was 12 or 24 hours before the news broke, you know, we got to talk for a little while in the lobby at the Final Four. I think genuinely with neither of us having any way to conceive what was about to transpire over the next 24 hours and 72 hours. And so, you know, I love him. He's going to continue to do great things in college basketball, and it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be really fun to compete, and we'll keep rolling and just keep our goals the same.
All right, so before you go, when you talk about what it means to be a Wildcat, then there's the style of play, right? You won at least 19 games, Mark, in each of the five seasons at BYU, and you did it in part by shooting the three ball. Last year, you made the second most threes in college basketball. Can I go ahead and assume that you're going to stick with that approach at UK?
Yes, we are, man. 27 by 50, baby. Yeah, trademark that right now. 27 by 50. We're trying to make teams guard 27 by 50. Coach P would be so proud because he kind of revolutionized the three-point line when it was introduced in college basketball, and that's a huge part of what we do. But I'm also proud, you know, that we averaged the fourth most assists in college basketball last year, playing in the best defensive league in the country. I'm really proud of that, and I'm really proud that we had the sixth best assist to turnover ratio, and I'm really proud that we made the second most threes. That's got to change. We got to lead the country in three-point shots. So all of that is going to be a part of what we're trying to build here at Kentucky.
So, Mark, one last thought. Tell me what it was like getting off that bus with your teammates from the 1996 championship squad. What were they telling you in terms of the program getting one of their own back, and what was it like for you to get back with these guys?
So listen, getting off the bus, so we got to reenact what we did 27 years ago. 27 years ago, we won a national championship in the Meadowlands, beat a great red-hot Syracuse team, came back, and BBN showed up in just the most epic way. And as a team, we walked off the bus, drove right into the Marriott Center, the Rupp Arena floor, and walked out with trophy in hand just like that. So we rolled into Rupp. We kind of thought we'd run back the same thing. And what was beautiful was it wasn't getting off the bus. Getting off the bus was incredible. It was incredible to see BBN out the way they were. Like, it just was – it's breathtaking. Like, it's unprecedented in basketball, right? What was more special to me was getting on the bus. So, you know, we had players from every generation, the Kentucky greats from every generation, including at the back of the bus – some of my dear friend teammates that played in 96, and getting on the bus and walking back aisle by aisle and getting to look those guys in the eyes and understand what this program means to them from the, like I said, from the guys Joby Hall and before Joby Hall to Coach Patino to Tubby to Cal. It just is really special, man. This legacy here at Kentucky is just incredible, and I love it. And so getting off the bus, incredible, getting on the bus and sharing that moment with all the Kentucky greats was even better.
Welcome home, big dude. Welcome home. And you made it back into the jungle so we could talk about that, which you know I appreciate. Mark Pope is the head basketball coach at Kentucky. Mark, I know you got a million things going on, but I will look for you soon. I will run you down, and we will once again talk BBN and Wildcat ball. Congratulations, Mark. It's awesome.
So much love for you, Jim Rome. Thanks for having me on. Let's go, Cats.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. V in the fee. V, what's up, dude?
Shaquille Rome Needle, my brother. How was your weekend, dude?
So good, man. How about you?
Yeah, mine sucked. You were right. I had a party at my house. We're going crazy. We're hyped. I even let my wife invite her fat friend, Peggy, who eats all of our food and wreaks havoc on our plumbing. I'm like, hey, Peggy, go ahead and do what you got to do, fatty. I'm having a good time. But then, no, it gets ruined because of these clowns. Hey, D'Angelo Russell, why is it when it's the Nuggets, you go from D'Lo to J-Lo? Because you become straight ass, my guy. You're D'Angelo Russell. Not D'Angelo Russell Dress Brick. And I'm pulling for you, D'Lo. I like you. You're my guy. But I'm begging you to hit more than 1-3 tonight. Please. Oh, and LeBron Blames. Where the hell did you go in the fourth quarter? Dude disappeared faster than his hairline. I mean, one bucket and 7 turnovers? The alleged goat. The fourth quarter is supposed to be your quarter. And AD, what's good, baby? Nah, you good, AD. You good with me. You good. But hold up. Diarrhea Darvin Ham Sando. This zit head reminds me of diarrhea because he does nothing when the other teams go on their fat runs. And every time he's behind a mic, this guy just spits out stupid diarrhea. On Saturday, he said, you know, to beat the Nuggets, we can't expect them to beat themselves. Good teams, they don't beat themselves. What? You thought the Nuggets were going to beat themselves like they're Pee-wee in a movie theater? Darv, you're supposed to drop a game plan and beat the Nuggets yourself, you moron. And Romeo, if it sounds like I'm desperate for some jungle caramel, it's because I am. It's been 9 games in a row. I mean, every time they lose, it makes me vomit like I'm Paula Abdul bulimia after she eats a saltine cracker. I'm going to tip my cap to the Nuggets because I know they're a great team and they're tough. But I'm still going Lakers in 6. Man, what a day. Get the dub tonight, Lake Show. Be in the fee. Out.
On topic. In market. PJ. PJ, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Jimmy? How's it going?
Good. You?
Hey, what's up? AD, what's good? Hey, not your basketball team. You guys came in here, and Darvin Ham was talking about the smoke that they were going to be approaching. He didn't realize that smoke was residual smoke from 420. And when they came in here, sure, they had a good partial half of basketball, but the game was over as soon as LeBron hit that last-second buzzer at the end of the half. Nuggets came back. And Ham, the only thing you're leaving Denver with is a finely smoked fat ham that the Nuggets are going to be feasting on for the next 3 games. And it's not Nuggets in 6. It's not Nuggets in 5. Chalk that 9 losses in a row from the Lakers up to 12 losses in a row. Nuggets are going to sweep you. Hopefully some of the Lakers players spent Sunday going to some of the pot shops here looking for a strain called Be Better at Basketball. If they don't...
Hey, PJ, hopefully you spent part of the weekend searching for a strain called Be Better at the Jungle. PJ, my guy, no offense... Hopefully you spent part of the weekend searching for a strain called Be Better at Life. Bro, for life. You sound like a stoner, full stop. You sound like a stoner that doesn't know anything at all about sports. And somehow, some way, you just found this show and you liked it. And like, all right, I don't know anything about sports. I actually hate sports. But there's something about that Rome character, man, that Jungle Crack, especially. Got me a line of that. Put that in the glass, Deke. And all of a sudden, I'm hooked. Bro, I mean this. Take this for what it's worth. It's constructive criticism. That is a terrible phone call. Take the worst local show that you know. Even they don't want that phone call. So why would a Hall of Famer on a nationally syndicated talk show want that phone call? Listen, I want to let you clones in on a little thing. I want to let you in on my mindset and how I'm approaching the next several weeks, especially. Soon we will launch on a new platform and we will stream the program, and there will be so many people watching and waiting and lying in the weeds. So I'm getting my mind ready for that, my performance ready for that, my preparation ready for that, all of it ready for that. You need to do the same, because I know that if I come out and I don't get it done, I'm gonna get roasted. But PJ, my dude, if you come out on a new platform with that nonsense, it's gonna go really badly. We're off Broadway right now, in a way. Fact. Let's go there right now. Jay in Humboldt. Jay, what's going on?
Hey, Rome. I got so baked the stoner holiday, I dropped and broke my coffee mug after a wake and bake. I got the super glue out to fix it, but I was at critical mass and had to drop a growler. Long story short, I actually... That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call. I don't like that. Dude, call. I don't need the long version. I don't need the short version. I don't need any version of that story, stoner. We go to Dave in Kentucky. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
Romy, listen, man. Listen to you and Mark Pope chop it up, man. I'm ready to run through a brick wall. Matter of fact, I just pulled my vehicle over, jumped some dude's fence, and just hit his horse right in the mouth, man. Romy, listen, man, I'm at Rupp Arena last Sunday. Been there so many times. Never felt anything like it, man. The energy was incredible. And let me address Cowboy fans, Romy, if you don't mind, man. Cowboy fans, how do you feel about your supreme leader, the Jera, pledging to double the NIL bid for any Kentucky recruit that comes to Arkansas? That's right, Cowboy fans. The same Jera that's refused to spend one red penny during the offseason free agency to make your sorry underachieving team any better. Jera Calipari, the two biggest underachievers in the history of organized sports together at last. Suck it, pig friggers. BBN is out.
My man, David Kentucky, rack him too.
Good night now.